Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Bad company corrupts good character. One translation says good manners, but I love that word character. Bad company corrupts good character. Turn to the closest person to you. Now, don't touch them. Remember, social distancing. And just ask them, how's your squad doing? Turn to somebody else and ask them this question. Say, who you rolling with? Amen. You may be seated. Talking about building our inner circle. Whether you realize it or not, you have that group of people in your life that are adding to or taking from, that are building you up or tearing you down, that are making you better or making you worse, that are building faith in you or building fear in you. When Paul writes this, and we talked about it last session, Paul is talking not to unbelievers. Paul is talking to believers about who they're spending time with. Now realize that when Paul writes this, he is not talking about believers spending time with unbelievers. He is talking about believers and the other believers that they're spending time with. Let's just lay it all out here on a Wednesday night. We're just family. Everybody at Living Way is not supposed to be your best friend. Some of them are here at church because they need to get saved, sanctified, anointed. Come on, somebody. They need to get rid of some addictions. They need to have some habits broken. They need to build some faith. They need to build a foundation. So this is not a Christian mingle. This is not a place for you necessarily to find your mate. This is a place for you to, number one, get closer to Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, you're going to look around and you're going to see people that are at the same pace that you are at. I love one relationship tweet or message that I saw a few years ago said that singles ought to pursue Jesus with everything they have, and after a while they can look to the left or right, and anybody that can keep up with them as they pursue Jesus, that is somebody that could be a potential mate. And so when you come, somebody caught it. When you come to Living Way, we are here to pursue Jesus with all that we have. And when we pursue Jesus with everything that we have, we can start looking to the left and the right, and we can begin to see people who take their relationship with Jesus as serious as we do. Now, we want you to be blessed. We want, and we're going to get into this tonight. We want you to be blessed, and we want every part of your life to level up, and we want you to grow and mature in the most physical things, the financial areas of your life. But at the most, at the foundation, and the most important thing is we want your relationship with Jesus to be stronger today than it has ever been. And we want it to be on a steady incline for the rest of your life, that tomorrow you're stronger than you were today. And in June, you're stronger than you were in May. And so Paul, he talks and he encourages us, and he says, don't be misled, meaning that who you follow and who is in your circle matters. And he says bad company. Last session we talked about the bad company. That's who you hang out with. That's companionship. That is who you associate with. That is who you fellowship with. It corrupts, meaning to destroy the integrity of, to lower morally, to pervert, to alter for the worse, or to infect good character. Good character is your integrity. Integrity versus reputation. Integrity is who you really are. Integrity is who God knows you to be. Reputation is what people think you are. Integrity is the most important thing that you have when you stand before God, because God can look through everything and he can look at the attitude of your heart and who you really are. Who you are when no one is watching. We ended last session with this question or this statement that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I gave you just a little bit of homework to go and literally to write down the five people that are in your inner circle. The five people that you spend time with the most, because it matters. Who you spend time with, you will begin to mimic. You'll start saying words that they say. You'll start going places that they go. You will literally start talking about different things. You will start talking about things a different way. The reason I know that is because when Tyler was growing up, it was amazing because we Fenders have this gait to our walk, and it's not genetic. It happens by proximity. And we have a certain way that we talk, and I've noticed it in Tyler, that Tyler is picking up some of our mannerisms, and Tyler is picking up some of the way that we say things and the words that we use. And it's not genetic. It is by proximity. And so even though we're practicing social distance, there is something called social proximity, that who you spend time with is what you become. And what you spend around your time around the most is what's going to begin to dominate your thinking. And remember, what dominates your thinking will be what you talk about. What you talk about is what you're going to see manifest in your life. And what you see manifest in your life becomes your normal. And I love what Bishop said on Sunday, that we are not going back to a new normal. We are going to a better normal. We are going to a new place. And so to get a new place, you are going to have to talk different, which means you are going to have to think different, which means you are going to have to surround yourself with different people and different environment so that you can level up. And so I said this last week as we ended, get your five friends that you spend the most time with, write them down in order of importance. You say, that's cold, Pastor. No, that's life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is and I was going to get to this last week. I didn't get a chance to. I believe that you should have five, but I believe that you should also make a line under that five, and you should have 6 and 7, maybe 8 and 9. Why? Because you never know when 5 is going to flake out. You never know when 4 is going to backslide. You never know when 3 is going to go through an ugly divorce, and you don't want their bitterness jumping into your marriage. And so not only do you, I knew it'd get tight right here. Not only do you need to have your five, you need to have your next few, so that when somebody acts crazy, when somebody doesn't do right, when you outgrow them in your circle, you just move number 6 into that number 4 slot and say, all right, God, you used that person last, but now it's time for them to move on. And realize this, that a lot of people in your life are not forever. They're for now. There for now to get you to where you need to. There is somebody that you dragged into 2020 that was never supposed to make it past January 1st. They were supposed to stay in your 2019. Pastor, that's cold. No, it's what we call scaffolding. Scaffolding is not necessarily the most beautiful thing, but it is necessary to get to where we're supposed to be. And so some people in our lives are not going to be there forever. They're here right now, and sometimes they're not the most beautiful thing, but they are necessary to position me, to build something in me, to make me something I am not, to get me to the level that God has called me to be. Some people are not going to be your BFF. Some people are just there to get you to the next level, and then they fade away, not because they're bad, not because you're bad, but because their time in your life is seasonal and it is over. Every November, you'll see signs in stores. You will see advertisements for seasonal workers. That is workers that know that they are going to work for 6 weeks. They're going to work from Black Friday until the week after Christmas or the first week of January, and they know they are only there for a season. You know why they bring in seasonal help? Because they're getting ready to have a lot more happening than is normal. Can I encourage you that sometimes God brings people into your life because you are getting ready to go through something that is abnormal. You're getting ready to go through seasons where you have a lot coming at you. You're getting ready to go through things that you've never been through before. And so God will bring you seasonal help. Sometimes they last 6 weeks. Sometimes they last 6 months. Sometimes they're even there for 5 or 6 years. But do not sweat it when God removes them. When they walk out of your life, or you dismiss them out of your life, because I believe this, every person that has ever walked into my life and walked out of my life, God used them to build me up. God used them to make me stronger. God used them to make me a better version of myself. every person that walks into my life, I learn something from. But the worst thing we can do, church, is extend the life of a friendship that God meant to be seasonal. Or for us to cut short a relationship as seasonal that God meant to be lifetime. Come on, somebody. We got to reevaluate the people in our lives and find out if they're going to be with us for the long haul or be with us for the short term. The people in our life, write this down if you're taking notes, are either assets or liabilities. An asset is someone that is useful, someone that is desirable. Now, understand this. When we say useful, we don't mean use them up. We mean that God is going to use them. Now, understand this. Some people in your life, when God uses them, he uses them to rebuke, to correct, to reprove, to bring some discipline in our lives. Everybody that comes at you doesn't want to see you fail. Some people that come at you, God is bringing discipline in your life so that you can learn from your last mistake, so that you don't get caught in the circle cycle of sin or the cycle of the Israelites where you're just going in circles. Sometimes God brings somebody in your life, and everybody that disagrees with you is not out to get you. Some people that disagree with you are bringing God's perspective into your life, and you need to give them ear, and you say, well, I don't want to hear that. You're the one who let them in. And so the first time that you disagree with them, don't cut them off. Number one, you let them in. Number two, you need to ask God, is this from you? And God's going to answer that in many ways. He's going to say, not only is that not from me, I never wanted you talking to that person, let alone having them on your speed dial. Or God will say, no, I let that person into your life. I let that person to you because I was seeing some things and you wouldn't listen to mama and you wouldn't listen to daddy and you wouldn't listen to the preacher and you wouldn't listen to my word. So I brought a relationship into your life, somebody that you trust, somebody that you look to, and I'm using them to get you back on track so that I can take you where I've called you to be and make you what I've called you to be. Somebody say yes. Somebody say squat up. So that asset, a useful or desirable person in your life, or a liability, that which is disadvantageous. That means that people in your life literally become a liability, meaning you can't have them around. We've all got those people in our lives, growing up especially, that we would not invite to our house. We always went to sleepovers at their house. We always went to their house for dinner because we knew if we brought them to our house, they were going to say something, they were going to do something that when they left, mom or dad were going to say, you can't hang out with them anymore. Can I just talk to the parents for a little bit? I know we like to be friends with our kids, but you do have the ability to say, hey, listen, Johnny, I don't want you talking to that knucklehead anymore. He's not good for you. And they can slam doors, they can mumble, they can do all of that. But remember, you are not called to be their best friend. You are called to be their custodian, their mentor, their accountability, and to jerk them into place when they cannot make decisions by themselves on their own because they lack perspective, they lack wisdom, and they lack experience. But we all have, and we all know those people that we would not bring because we know they are a liability. We all had those friends that we did not want around when we were talking to that young lady at the cafeteria sophomore year because they were going to bring up something from our past. Let me tell you something, more than embarrassing you in front of somebody that you want to date, more than making mom or dad mad at you when you were 15 or 16, there's some people in your life that are liabilities right now. And the reason that God has not been able to bless you like he wants to bless you is because you've got a bunch of no good people around in your circle that God says, I can't trust them around you with your blessing. And if I bless you in their company, they will hurt you, manipulate you, and run you over to get the blessing. God, I just wish you'd bless me. God's saying, I want to bless you too, but you're dating him. And I can't bless you because of him. I can't bless you because of her. You keep running around with these people and they keep robbing you from the greatest outpouring that God has ever wanted. You've missed opportunities because of liabilities in your life. You've missed great seasons because of liabilities in your life. You've got to be able to check everybody in your circle and say, hey, are you prayed up? Have you spoken in tongues today? Are you a worshiper? Are you in your word today? Why? Because I'm not going to miss out on God's best because I got a Judas in my midst that refuses to help me grow. Stay tuned with the series because we're going to talk about the Judases. You need a Judas, but you only need one for your lifetime. Some of you have a circle of Judases, and you wonder why you can't be blessed. And maybe God has blessed you, but you didn't see that blessing because the Judases were there to rob you every step of the way. Oh, that's for next Wednesday. We'll get there. We'll get there. Listen to this. Every person in our lives makes deposits or makes withdrawals. Every single person in your life makes deposits or makes withdrawals. Here's three things that we must do to build our inner circle. If you're taking notes, write these down. Number one, you have to manage your circle. Every day, all day. The hardest job is not getting things. It's maintaining things. You would be shocked and appalled. How many of you are at least 50 years of age? Raise your hand. You would be. Somebody went, It's all right. 50's the new 20, y'all. You would be shocked at 50 if you could get a calculator and add up all the money that has come through your hands. You would not only be shocked, you'd probably cry a little bit. It's not getting the money that's the problem. It's keeping it away from Ford and CPS and Saws. Come on now. It's staying out of the casinos. Oh, come on now. There's a lot of people who saved a lot of money during quarantine because they shut down Eagle Pass. Just look straight ahead. Look straight ahead. Sir, watching at home, your wife doesn't know. Just look straight ahead. Talk to God for a moment. It's not getting things. It's maintaining things. 21 years old, 17 years of age, we went down to the courthouse, got our marriage certificate, stood before God and men, and we had a very short wedding ceremony, 30 minutes in front of our family and our friends. That was getting married. That was easy. Staying married. Maintenance on my marriage. Looking in the mirror saying, you dropped the ball. Looking in the mirror saying, Brandon, you could do better. Looking in the mirror saying, Mandy could do a lot, but maintenance. Going across the street here to Jordan Ford and signing your name on a slip of paper can get you a truck. But every few days, you're going to have to fill that truck up with gas. Every 45 or 60 days, if you're me, it's about every 35 days, you're going to have to get an oil change. You're going to have to make sure that everything under the hood is running. Because if you don't, that thing seizes up. There's a lot of times our relationships break down and our circle breaks down because once we get our circle filled and we get our squad, we get everybody in place, we just want to live like it's always going to be that way. Manny and I were talking the other day. Besides the people that we are related to, we don't even talk to anybody that was in our wedding party. Don't even talk to them. Nothing happened. They just went one way. We went another way. They stayed. We left. We left. They whatever it is. And so what I'm saying is you've got to always look at your circle and manage it and say, I'm letting this person get too close. They need to take a step back. This person's trying to get other people involved in our circle. No, I wanted you, not them. Always managing your circle. The other thing you've got to do is you've got to take inventory of your circle. That is when you begin to move people in and move people out. And I understand that sounds callous and cold, but when you understand that your future is on the line, it no longer seems callous and cold. That when I realize that by removing this person from my life, by taking their phone number out of my phone, by not giving them a place in my life, by not letting them manipulate me or the people around me. I know it's cold to cut them off, but I've got a purpose and a destiny that is in front of me. And if I don't make some decisions and cut the fat in certain areas, I'm never going to be what God has called me to be. And so I'm continually taking inventory of my circle physically, but also spiritually, allowing the Holy Spirit to show me things and tell me things that I would not normally know. Growing up in a Holy Ghost-filled house was tough because the Holy Ghost would tell things to Pastor Becky that there's no way she could have known, things that happened at school. I remember her and Sean getting into it when he was in, I think, elementary or junior high school, because the lunch that she had packed, he threw straight into the garbage can when he got to school because he didn't like what she packed. He gets in the car, I get in the car, and Mom asked Sean, said, "How'd you like your lunch?" He said, "I loved my lunch." She said, "You're lying to me, because the Holy Ghost told me you threw it straight into the trash." It's hard living with a mama like that when the Holy Ghost will tell on you over peanut butter and jelly. Now, if the Holy Ghost in her can do that, then the Holy Ghost in us, every time we shake hands with somebody, you're going to get a thumbs up from the Holy Ghost or a thumbs down. You're going to get a proceed with caution or listen, go right in. Throw everything you have into this relationship because it's going to be good. But we have been preconditioned in a spirit-filled environment, and sometime from a Pentecostal background, that the Holy Ghost is just supposed to make us shake, quake, froth at the mouth, roll in the floor, speak in tongues, and then we go home saying, "Wasn't that a move of God?" You know what a better move of God is on an idle Thursday afternoon? For you to be meeting somebody and the Holy Ghost show up and say, "If you go down this road, it is going to set you back 3 years. If you proceed into this relationship, it's going to cost you this. It's going to cost you opportunity. It's going to close doors in front of you." That's why me and the Holy Ghost look at my inner circle every about 24 hours, and I look, is this person still supposed to be in it? Am I supposed to be? And sometimes it ain't them, it's us. Sometimes we think God's removing them from us, and what he's really doing is removing us from them because we're no longer good for them, not because we're damaging, but we've outgrown each other or one another. Third thing is you've got to identify whether they are depositors or withdrawers. When we have people in our lives who are withdrawing, listen to what I'm going to say. When we have people in our lives who are withdrawing at a greater level than the level that we have people depositing into our lives. See, in just basic banking, if you are making bigger withdrawals than you are deposits, it leaves you what we call overdrawn. It doesn't bring you to zero. It brings you to a deficit. There are some people that the enemy would love for you to allow into your life, because not only are they going to take you back to ground zero or to square one, they are literally going to leave you worse than when they found you. And so we have to be able, taking inventory, looking at our circle, to be able to say, this person is making deposits into my life. This person is making withdrawals into my life. And sometimes you are going to allow people to make withdrawals, but you can never allow the withdrawals to be greater than the deposits. Five people you want in your circle. Number one, you need somebody that is so spirit-filled, so Holy Ghost-filled and anointed, so faith-filled and so word-filled that it's like having the Apostle Paul as a best friend. You need somebody that is more mature in the things of God than you are. Everybody in this place needs to have that kind of person in your life. You need somebody in your life that when you are getting and veering off course, they are so Holy Ghost filled. They're like Pastor Becky, that the next time you go over lunch, you're not going to talk about guys. You're not going to talk about money. You're not going to talk about purses. You're going to talk about the things that she's going to call you out and say, "Hey, the Holy Ghost told me you've been doing this, saying this, and going this place." And listen, if you're going to continue to do that, you're going to miss out on all the good things that God has for you. We all need that one spiritual, faith-filled people. If you don't have one in your circle, I'm telling you right now, shut the squad down, get alone with God for a few days, and let's hit reset on this thing, and come to me, come to Sister Gloria, come to Brother Warren, and we'll build your circle for you to get you started. Got to have that spirit. Number two, you need somebody that's been married a long time to one person. Not you've been married 40 years over your three marriages. This is not collectively. You need somebody that has a strong marriage. Doesn't mean they don't haven't been through problems. It means that they haven't thrown in the towel. That they have a healthy marriage. That their marriage is stronger today than it has ever been, whether they've been married 15 years, 25 years, or 45 years. You need to be around people who have been married longer than you have been married. That way there is always something in front of you that's saying, there is more to this. I'm looking at somebody. I can talk to somebody that has been where I am doing my best to get to. And so, secondly, you've got to have somebody who is a has a strong marriage. Number three, you got to have somebody in your life that has raised some good kids. Don't get tight. Raising kids is difficult. Pastor Manny and I have been doing it for 16 years, and our kids are not perfect, and neither are we. But I'll tell you one thing my kids don't do is they don't complain about going to church. They don't complain about praying. They don't complain. They have their problems. We've had issues. Our kids have lost. Sometimes we've taken electronics away from our kids. I'm talking about everything with an off and on switch. We've taken away for 6 months. You gave in after 2 days of taking their cell phone away. I'm talking about 6 months. Can I watch TV? You can watch what I'm watching. Well, I don't want to watch the news. Well, then go to your room. Read a book. I don't care. You need to get around some people who have raised strong children or are raising strong children and have children that are older than your children, so that you can look to them and glean from them, this is what I can do. There is no guarantee that any of the kids we raised are going to make it out 100% and make it through life unscathed. But I'm going to tell you, you can do your best. You can do everything that God has given you. And the Bible says when you raise them up when they are old, when you train them up in the way when they are old, when you bring them to church and continually position them when they are old, they will not depart from it. Get you some people in your life, in your squad that have raised kids. Well, that's not fun. I want to be hanging out with people that are going to the clubs. That's your problem. Your squad knows how to bump and grind, but they don't know how to raise families, stay married, make money, be successful. It's getting quiet. That's all right. Number four, you need somebody in your circle that is committed to ministry. Not committed to church, committed to ministry. Committed to personal purpose being realized in their life. My hat goes off to the dozens and dozens of Living Way leaders that are sitting in this room today that have not just been serving for 4 months, but some of them, like Brother Warren Inman. Happy birthday, by the way, sir. Today's your birthday? Happy birthday. Not that have been serving in ministry for 4 months, but serving for four decades, like Brother Warren. We need people in our lives that are committed to ministry. And when I say committed to ministry, the highs and lows, doesn't matter what's going on at home, I'm committed to building the kingdom, to pushing the agenda of God forward. And you need people in your life that don't give in every time something bad happens or every time they get uncomfortable. You need some people that have some planting power and some staying power and some people that have been at it for a long, long time. Because if you ever want to fulfill your God-given purpose in a church or in ministry, you are going to have a Paul because you are a Timothy. You are going to have a Paul that can reach back and say, hey, you can't be committed to ministry laying out of church for a couple weeks at a time. We need you every Sunday and every Wednesday. And this is in no way casting aspersions on anybody that's watching today because these circumstances are different. But I'm talking about in times past and in times future. When the doors of the church are open, we need believers that say, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside. I've got people that are going to call on me. I've got people that are going to depend on me to get to the house to fulfill my service. Had a man, this was a few years ago, he messaged me. God to honest truth. He messaged me. I didn't recognize his name, pulled up his profile picture on Facebook, didn't recognize his picture. and he was complaining that we had not called him. He had been in the hospital, had a surgery, and had not been at Living Way for 6 weeks. I was the wrong person to message. And when he messaged me that, I just sent him this message back. I hope your surgery went well, and I hope you're recovering. We will be praying for your health, for your healing, for your wholeness in Jesus' name. But I am offended that you would accuse us of not caring when I am there every Sunday, twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday, once on Saturday. I do not know your face. I have never heard your name, which tells me you might come to Living Way, but you don't belong to Living Way. You might show up, oh, it's getting quiet, and that's all right. You might show up on Easter and Christmas, or who knows, you might show up every Sunday and sit way back in the balcony or on the back row. Because let me tell you this, brother, if you were involved at Living Way, halfway through the first service that you missed, Brother Jerome would have called you and said, you're supposed to be ushering today. Pastor Becky would have called you after the praise and worship and said, hey, you were supposed to be playing guitar today. Brother Michael would have said, hey, we needed altar ministers today, and you weren't there. Security would have been talking into their wristwatches saying, have you seen so-and-so? But the fact that you went 6 weeks and nobody from Living Way called out to you is because you are not involved. And when you're involved, you lay out of church, and Brother Jerome calls you and says, hey, we missed you today. We want to make sure that you didn't have a wreck and you're lying in a gutter somewhere. And then they say, nope, my wife and I are having problems. My son is in the hospital. And boom, you've got somebody in your squad that cared enough about you to check on you in the name of kingdom and ministry. And now that they've checked on you, now it's no longer, we needed you there on Sunday. Now it's, how can we assist your family? Can we send somebody to pray for your son? Do you need a meal from Acts of Love Benevolence Ministry? All because you had the right people in your squad. I left this one last. Pastor Baker, if you come, I left this one for last. Number five. These are not in order of importance except for the first one, the spiritual, faith-filled foundation. Number five is you need somebody in your life that has money. Not so that you can beg off of. I was watching, y'all help me. I've been watching ID, channel 192 on Dish Network. It's all about wives killing their husbands, children killing their parents. It's just crazy stuff. That was bad enough. Then Mandy started buying bows and arrows, throwing stars, throwing knives, axes. She bought me an asp for some reason. That's that police baton that you can flip out. And then the other day I came home and she's sitting there at the kitchen table and she's taking apart her new .357 and putting it together and putting bullets in and all of these things. And I'm thinking, holy smokes. That night she was getting ready to go to bed. She's always the first one in her house to go to bed. I said, what you doing? And she said, I'm reading the Bible. And I said, where's your gun? She told me, I said, where's the bullet? She told me, I said, okay, all right. But there's a lot of this craziness going around, and you see all of this craziness. I want to be around people. When we talk about having money, I want to be around people that know what to do, that I can be around where some of that splashes off on me. It doesn't happen just because you're close to them, although you will pick up things. One of my friends said this, and I say this in closing. He offers, at their church, they offer internships. And I said, what does an internship involve? And he named all of these things that the internship involves. It's like a six-week course. I said, do you pay them? He said, we don't pay them, but we do this. He listed 8 or 10 things off that were all viable and good. But then I loved what he said at the end. But I said, Brandon, you know what we really offer them? I said, what's that? He said, a seat at the table. He said, they're listening to conversations that are above their head. They're listening to men and women trade philosophies, trade information. Can I encourage you, when you build your circle, it's not only about what they teach you, it's just being in the room with them. I'm going to tell you, my dad, Bishop, has taught me so many things verbally, or he has taught me things like literally how to do things out on the ranch and do things. But I'm going to tell you, what I've learned most from him is just being close to him. How he manages, what he says, how he gets the job done. And I want to encourage you, you have to have people in your life. Well, I'm not worried about money, and I don't care about money. You should, because we've got a kingdom right now that is in desperate need of, listen, people, not only laborers, but in desperate need of money to push, amen, the Lamb's agenda forward. We need to be building orphanages. We need to be building wells. We need to be building churches. We need to be supporting missionaries. We need to be building churches here locally. We need to be able to broadcast. All of these things cost money. And so I want you to be blessed so we can take the pressure off of your life so that you can serve at a greater level. But I also want you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. Stand on your feet. Got to get your squad right. Get those people in your life. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good manners, good character, good thing. What's been stolen out of your life because of the wrong thing, the wrong people? Paul is writing to the church, and he's encouraging them. He said, I'm begging you to look at your circle. Look at who you're running with. Look at who you're rolling with. Look at who you're going to the movies with. You say, that's in my off time. As a believer, there is no off time. The devil's always on the prowl, looking for whom he may devour. Always out there tempting. And let me tell you, as hard as the devil is working to tempt you and on the prowl to devour you, God is working overtime, doing his best to get us aligned with his word and his will so that the windows of heaven and favor can be open above us. Next week, we're going to jump into the story, and I love the story of Jesus in the house, and they tear off the roof, and the paralyzed man, his squad, brought him to Jesus. We're going to dive into that next Wednesday. There's four types of people that you need to have in your squad. We identified things that they might be good at, but there's four characteristics that you need. I want to encourage you right now. Say, Pastor Brandon, it's been tough being quarantined. It's been tough being separated from my schoolmates, from my coworkers, from family. But can I just tell you that maybe God could use this as a reset? To say, I've proven to you over the last 8 weeks that you don't need them as much as you need him. And now that you have him, he can help you get the them that are going to propel you and provoke you to great works, to great things. I got three guys that I call all the time that I've made friends with over the years. They're all in ministry, all massively successful. And I call them, they inspire me to do greater. Every time I talk to men, I'm fired up. Do you have that kind of person in your life? First of all, we need you to get close to Jesus. And chances are, if your squad's wrong, it's because you've drifted from him. We want to get you close to Jesus tonight. I don't want you leaving this church, leaving this room. I don't want you clicking off of the Facebook Live to end. And you say, man, I don't feel like anything happened. This is your time here in this room and in your room to make a decision. We're going to open up this altar right now. I believe there's at least a dozen.